There's an address given by Mr. Moon to the Guild of Spiritual Healers at York Lodge on Saturday, September the 4th, 1971.
Thank you again, Mrs. Fuller, for inviting me to speak to you all. Whenever I thought...
Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's as far as I can count up.
May the blessings of the Almighty Father be with you. Good evening to all once again, my friends.
Good evening.
Once again, my friends, I am going to return to our friend, the imbalance. And this week, I would like to discuss a little with you what this movement has to do with this imbalance. What it can do for it, to correct it. What use it is in your life. First of all, we must say that spiritualism is not a theological hypothesis. It is a severely practical way of life. A way of life in your world and in mine. For what you learn in your world prepares you for mine. And as you are well aware, there seems to have come a very deep division between the phenomena of spiritualism and its philosophy. This is a division which in very great measure I regret. For the one depends upon the other. But as to what spiritualism as a movement and as a way of life can do for your world, very much depends upon how you, its adherents, use it. If you only seek phenomena, then spiritualism will have very little to say to the world of any importance at all. If all you seek to do is to witness things, to receive messages, valuable as these things are, if this is all, then I'm very much afraid that it is nearly, I say nearly, useless. For we hope that these things are the means to an end, the outward and visible signs of an inner reality. You, my friends, have seen a materialization. And I would like you to consider what this means to you and for you. For, my friends, you may very well see one again, and your attitude is all important. Did you regard it merely as an appeal to the visible senses or as a spiritual experience? All these phenomena are and should be a spiritual experience. They are not produced. They never will be produced, and they never have been produced, merely for the purpose of sensation. It is true, and I have said to you, that we seek to make people sit up and take notice. We intend, perhaps, if I may so put it, to shock a little, but to shock into thought, to provide a motive for thinking. This is what the phenomena are for. They are a means to an end. They are the vehicle by which we express ourselves to you. But if you regard them as an end in themselves, then I'm afraid, my friends, that you are sorely mistaken. And you sorely underestimate the purpose of them and the purpose of those who produce them. But as a way of life, as a philosophy, what have we to offer to the world? Through these phenomena, we offer to you a living, tangible proof of another order of existence that puts your world in its proper perspective, that asserts that your world is a kindergarten, is a school in which you have things to learn. And of course, these things are not always pleasant. You have to learn to live with one another. You have to learn to live in the society which you have created. You have to learn to live with yourself. And this way of life brings to you a realization of who and what you are. It proves to you that you do not cease to exist at what is called death. So the idea of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, does not hold much water. You live in a material world to learn lessons that only a material world can teach you. But you are shown that you are basically spiritual beings with spiritual responsibilities, with spiritual qualities and attributes. And it is these things, these portions of your being, that spark of you which is of the divine, that essence of you that we seek to discover to you, to show it to you, to allow it to flower, as it were, to burgeon forth into life. We seek to put this in proportion to your physical life. You have never heard me say, and you never will, that your physical circumstances are unimportant. For of course they are important. We do not expect you to live ascetic lives, to deny yourself the things of the world. What we ask you to do is to put the things of the world in due place and proportion, to know that the things of the world are not gods and should not be made so, for they are impermanent. They are very real, do not mistake me, but they are impermanent. Therefore, we seek to bring you a knowledge of a larger and wider field of experience and existence, to which you belong, to which basically all of us belong, whatever stage our development has reached. We seek to bring you a knowledge of this, because in the knowledge that you are eternal, that you are spiritual beings, comes the realization of the proportion, of the due place of all your phases of existence, whether in your material world or through the many stages of existence and experience through which you will pass in the world of spirit. We seek to bring you a knowledge that you must learn to love, to be tolerant, to be compassionate. For only by the exercise of these things can you hope to achieve anything in your world or anything in mine. Loving service one to another is the only yardstick of measurement, my friends. Make no mistake about it. You may be very wealthy in this world's goods and very poor in the gifts of the Spirit. We would seek to bring to you a realization that to be rich in the things of the Spirit is to be rich in truth. We would seek to bring to your world a knowledge of these things through you, for you must live these things here and now. It is no good, as I say so often, listening to me and thinking that all that I say is all that is necessary for you, because, my friends, it is not. All of us on our journey have things to learn. All of us tread a slightly different pathway. All I can do, and all any who come to you can do, is give of our experience, to give of our knowledge, in the hope that it will be of help to you in your journey. And your world, my friends, must realize the things of the Spirit, must use the gifts of the Spirit, must put into practice those spiritual qualities which are inherent in you all. And that, my friends, is the mission of your way of life. That is what it is for. For have you not seen written, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else shall be added unto you"? Ponder these words, my friends, in the coming week, and know that you must seek that kingdom, and then indeed all else will be added unto you. May God bless you all.
Hello, you horrible lot!
Hello,
Holly. Are you all happy?
Yes.
Oh, blimmin' my love, so we're going to be miserable if you aren't. Now, look here, we want you to really bail them out this week, and we're going to make it as difficult as we can for you.
You've already done that.
And I warn you of something, I've got old Simbad here sharpening his spear.
Oh.
I've got the other one brandishing his hatchet, and I'll let them both loose if you're not careful. All right?
Yes.
You think I'm joking, don't you?
Yes.
Well, just you wait and see whether I'm joking or not, because I'm not as daft as a sound, you know. I'm certainly not as daft as you lot look when you're all singing. Anyway, now get on with it. Have a nice time, and we're going to really enjoy ourselves, all right?
Yes.
See you later.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
May the blessings of the Almighty Father be with you all. Good evening once again, my friends. We have spoken together about what this way of life may do for your world, what we hope it may do, and what it can do. Now let us examine, my friends, what it can do for you individually. For all the purposes that we have discussed in connection with health for the state of the world can and should equally apply to you in your own personal life. What does this way of life do for you, my friends? First of all, let us look at that, and then we may perhaps examine what you can do for it. It brings to you a proof of survival beyond death. It brings to you the means of knowing this, of appreciating it in many ways. It brings to you the knowledge of the closeness of your dear ones, the knowledge that they are ever with you and anxious and eager to help you within limitations that are set by the natural laws. It gives you, too, the means of appreciating another order of being to which you will come. It gives you the means to prepare yourself for this. It gives to you a wider outlook in all the aspects of your life, physical, mental, and spiritual. By the expansion of your mind, by the power that is innate in your mind, you can grow spiritually and appreciate things of the Spirit. In your material life, you can even there exercise those qualities of the Spirit that will enhance your growth and your stature. It gives you the means to communicate with those of us who hope that we may be able to teach you things, may be able to teach you of yourselves of the world of spirit to which you will come, even of the world of matter in which you live now. It gives you all these things. Many, many years, my friends, mankind has lived under a tyranny, an oppression of the mind, an oppression of everything, my friends. You, in your world, in your part of the world, have been taught that one died to absolve you from all your sins. In other parts of the world, these things are also taught, even though it is under a different name. We come to correct this misunderstanding. We come to give you yourselves. We come to give you a sense of responsibility to and for yourself. I have said to you before that we bring comfort to you in the proof that your dear ones are with you. But if you stop to consider all the implications of this, it is not always comfortable. For we insist that you look at yourselves quite ruthlessly, that you may know yourselves properly, that you do not seek to hide from yourself that which you do not like, so that you, in this self-examination, in the light of spiritual laws, may know yourself fully, may be able to help yourself, and may be able to help others. For the very essence of spirituality is loving service one to another. This we seek to bring to you, to make you understand, to persuade you to put into practice. Although, of course, we cannot make you do anything, for that is part of the law, that we are not allowed to force you into anything. It is not our wish. We seek only to lead. It is for you to follow. It is for you to seek understanding of all things. For knowledge, my friends, is yours to command. It is your birthright. But it has to be earned. And you are the ones that have to earn it. In the past, you have been allowed, perhaps, to rest upon someone else's laurels. In this way of life, my friends, there are no laurels but your own upon which to rest. If you have laurels, it is because you have earned them. Now, my friends, what do we expect for you to give to this way of life? I think perhaps I have covered a little of it already. We expect you to play your part. We expect you to desire to learn. We expect you to make and to take the necessary steps to do so. We expect you to put into practice in your everyday life all that you learn. For you cannot expect to grow in spiritual understanding and spiritual stature by just sitting and listening to the words of another, whoever that other may be, from whichever side of the veil he comes, and whatever his stage of advancement. This is why I always stress to you, my friend, that I do not wish you to accept my words as absolute truth, for there is no such thing. I just wish to give you of my experience and my knowledge, based upon my experience, in the hope that it may prove useful to you in your pathway. For we all have gone the same road, my friends. We know the road. We only seek to help you upon your journey. But my life is not your life, and your life is not mine. The experiences that we both gain upon our pathway may, of course, be of mutual benefit to ourselves. But you must tread the pathway. You must will to set your feet upon the road of that progression which is eternal. This is up to you. You must put into practice what you learn if you find it appeals to your sense of logic, your sense of reason, and your sense of what is right. If it speaks to your spirit, to the heart of you, then you will know that this for you is good. This is your part. I would hope, my friends, that in your daily lives you would never let an opportunity pass that may afford you a chance to put into practice what you learn. For that is the reason that you are taught it, that you may use it. You are not told anything that you may feel grander or more important than anyone else. You are told things, as I say, all knowledge has to be earned. You are told things because you have reached a state in your progression at which you will appreciate them, and at which it will be your desire, your every wish, to put these things into practice. And then you too, my friend, in your small way, may help your world. You do not have to go out and shout from the rooftop necessarily. You may find some rather unexpected results if you do. It is only necessary for you to calmly and quietly and with a sense of dignity to put into practice in your lives all that you learn, that you may be, as I have called you, our ambassador, that you may be a shining example of what this way of life means. It does not just mean talking with the so-called dead, although that is a very important factor in it. It means the putting into practice every moment of your life those spiritual qualities which basically are yours, if you would let them out and let them find their expression. With these thoughts, my friends, once more I will leave you. It is, as I say, my hope that what I say to you may, in your pathway, be of use to you. May God bless you all until we shall meet again.
Hello, you horrible lot!
Hello.
Hello.
We're not making nice enough lot. Noise, you know.
Right.
No good, we can't have all been to a funeral.
Oh,
did you enjoy it?
No, not very much.
Not much? Well, they're not very happy occasions, are they?
Not very.
But my God, you don't have to go to a lot, don't you? Anyway, now look here. Yes. He's older than blind, and the night said before, take it in right, and we get older and even further.
All right.
Anyway, now sing nice and loud.
Yes.
Or you know what'll happen to you?
Yes.
I shall let that great brute out on you.
Oh.
And there, you'll know all about it then. Oh, I mustn't call him that, he'll get annoyed. Anyway, well, he's ever so, you know, he always always terrible when he's roused. Oh, he's got this blooming great spear, and you, yeah, well, you might see it one day, get it thrown at you. Now, look here, sing nice and loud, make a lot of noise, keep the vibrations where they should be. Because a drop vibration ain't a pretty sight, you know.
No.
So get on with it, and I'll see you later, all right?
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Can you imagine anybody wanting to speak to you anyway when you don't know who they are half the time? So I would warn you that this may happen, and we don't want you to keep on thinking that all we want to do is speak to you, love. All right? May God bless you all,
God,
my friend.
Bless,
I see you again sometime.
God bless you.
I only come to tell you these things because you are so nosy, but of course you may also be a little frightened as to what is going on. Well, you see, we only hope to levitate the medium. If we levitate anybody else, this will be mistaken identity. So anyway, we will stop rocking him now, and in about 3 hours, Tommy will come and tell you to go home.
Thank
so
you.
I will see you perhaps next week. God bless you all.
God bless you.
I think he's going to love it. It is guaranteed to get the vibrations going. Oh, it is. Anyway, look here, we're sorry we took so long, and he couldn't lead him halfway through what they were doing.
No.
You don't expect this from time to time, you see, they couldn't stop, so we had to go on. There's nothing else to do if you can't stop, is there?
Oh, no.
Anyway,
no.
We'll